Welcome to episode 301. Seaforth will be in. Duo, fantastic. New artists. Met them on the show a few months ago, and they came in for a bit, and they were just so good. And now I see they're starting to blow up a little bit. So they're in for about an hour. They talk about being lifelong friends, like before, you know, they were even in kindergarten. Their new song, America's Fascination with Aliens. We get into all of that, so you guys hang out there. The new music top five this week at number five for me, Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real have a new album called A Few Stars Apart. Here's a new song called Perennial Bloom. At number four, Justin Bieber put out a Peaches remix. If you don't like this song, not just the remix, but in general, I think you're lying. Everybody loves Peaches. So here it is with Ludacris, Usher, and Snoop.
I get my peaches out in Georgia. Apple bottom from New York, orange in Florida. Vitamin C mixed with this vitamin D.
Now what's interesting is these are old school rappers now. He could have got a bunch of new rappers, like DaBaby or Lil Baby or Big Baby. But instead he went with Ludacris, Usher, and Snoop, which Ludacris and Usher are both from Atlanta, which I get my peaches down in Georgia. Snoop is not, but it's kind of like an old school throwback there. Number three, Lady A, they have a new song called Things He Handed Down. They also announced What a Song Can Do Chapter 1, which will come out June 25th. But here's a clip of Things He Handed Down.
This is words that mean most to me now, of the things he handed down.
At number two, Zac Brown Band comes out with a new song. It's called Same Boat.
We're all in the same boat, fishing in the same hole, one way the same time.
He sounds a little bit like Andy on The Office. Nard Dog. And number one, Kylie Morgan has a new EP called Love Kylie. Here's a new song called Outdoor Voices.
I saw she just got engaged. I haven't met Kylie Morgan yet. I've maybe Instagram messaged her a couple times because back in the day, I saw her open for Walker Hayes. And I was like, hey, that's really good. She has a song called Cuss a Little. I think that's her from back in the day.
Yep.
Yeah. But she's coming in and will be on next week's episode, if I'm correct.
Yep, she will.
So congratulations to her for getting the coveted number one spot on this countdown that nobody really cares about. It's just music I care about. Album's out. Ryan Adams got a new album. Is he still he's still creepy, right? But he's not as canceled anymore.
That is correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Maroon 5, AFI, Garbage, Migos, all with new music. Lynyrd Skynyrd performed Freebird last weekend at Gulf Coast Jam. It was their first show in 15 months. Founding guitarist Gary Rossington and the enduring Southern rock band headline the Florida Pepsi Gulf Coast Jam. Here is a clip. When the crowd yells, play Freebird, they actually can. I've been to a couple Skynyrd shows.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm from Arkansas.
What's that like?
Like it seems.
Okay.
You know, they play all the hits, and they played that song at the very end, and it's like 10 minutes long, yeah. And everyone puts out their... Well, back in the day, it was Lighters, and then I've been to a phone one, too.
Okay.
But yeah. Dierks Bentley's having Seven Peaks again. He announced the headliners. It'll be him and Keith Urban, Kip Moore, Old Crow, Randy Houser, Travis Denning, Ingrid Andress, Mark Chestnut, Pam Tillis, all among the performers there. You can go to Seven Peaks website and see if you want to go in Colorado. Let's see if there's anything else. 15 years since Josh Turner's Your Man came out, so he's celebrating that. And the Foo Fighters and the Strokes are bringing shows back to New York City. They will play the first full capacity arena show, Foo Fighters will, in Madison Square Garden on June 20th. Tickets will go on sale today if you want to go to that. All right, there's your list. There's your music news. That's what's up.
And with Mitch and Tom from Seaforth, good to see you guys.
Hey, g'day. Thank you for having us.
You guys didn't drive over here together, though, did you?
We did.
Oh, you did. Oh, Mitch, you were late.
I had to use the restroom really quick.
You know what's weird about the bathrooms? Because this is this little place here is like a guest house. Like,
yes.
We live over there. But none of the bathrooms have mirrors. Did you notice there was no mirror in there?
I actually didn't.
Was there soap and water?
Was there, I know there's water. Was there soap?
There was no toilet. It was just like an empty room. I was like, is it just like a find a corner that works?
No, that was a guest bedroom you were in. That wasn't actually a bathroom.
I was just, is this like a cool new way? Like, Bobby's experience. No, no, no. I can't. I think there might have been a mirror.
No mirrors.
No mirrors.
The weirdo took them out when we bought this place. He took all the mirrors out of this whole house.
He's like, these mirrors have seen things. I need to take them with me.
Yeah, I don't know who he thinks lives in a mirror, but he took them with him. It was the weirdest thing.
That he hated looking at himself.
You guys, do you live together right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's childhood friends. Do you consider yourself best friends still?
Brothers at this point.
Yeah. And you live together?
Yes.
And do you guys have other halves?
I don't.
Oh, yeah. I have a girlfriend. Yeah.
Okay. And so does she live there?
No, not with us.
Does she stay there a lot?
Yeah, it's pretty, like, we split it up pretty evenly, but yes.
Tom, is that ever a thing where you're like, all right, she's here way too much?
Oh, no. I mean, we spend so much time together. It's like, it's kind of nice sometimes to have a bit of, like, separation, you know?
We live on different levels of the house. I mean, we started with bunk beds.
Good. We used to have bunk beds, yes.
And, so, like, just room for activities, you know, like, we'd box every morning and stuff like that, but now we're on separate levels of the house just to keep us sane.
Let me play a clip real quick because I do have a lot to talk about, but I want to play a clip of breakups here from Seaforth. I said I wouldn't call, we said we wouldn't talk it all, and always ends bad. But I'm looking at my phone, and if you're not alone, I don't think I could take it. I feel like this is the first real push you guys are getting. Like, legitimately, you feel it from everywhere. And listen, I think when you guys came and played our show, people started to go, oh, holy crap, these guys are so good. We have to push this. Like, you guys killed on my show. I didn't expect you guys to be as good as you were.
Oh, thank you so much.
Appreciate it, dude.
That's a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
You guys don't look like you have any ability.
I expected you to suck.
Yeah. But you came in and you were so good. And I remember, and I probably shouldn't share this, but I don't do a lot now in my world. I don't do a lot of fighting for a lot of music.
Okay.
Occasionally, I will stick my neck out.
Yeah.
And now you guys came on the show, and so I don't talk to a lot of label people ever. And somebody extremely high up called me from your, and they were like, so how'd you think that was? And I was like, you know what? I did not have high expectations. It was mostly to do a bit, funny. I said, but I don't think I've ever been as impressed as I was, not just with how good you guys were, but how good the song was. And he said, and again, there's probably three or four people in your mind who it could be, and I will not tell you who it is.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, that's all I needed to hear. We're going for it.
I love that. Wow. And thank you so much.
No. I'm not saying this to thank me. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything but book you on the show and to do a dumb bit.
But you did.
No, I didn't. Stop. But you guys, it's so cool to see, because I'm seeing it now. And so then I start to flip around and hear it on satellite a little bit. I'm like, nice. And then I see the labels like June 20-something. They're going to push it to radio.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy to see it. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
We are too.
It feels really good. No, I didn't mean it. Yeah, it feels really special, man. This song holds a lot of weight to us for a lot of reasons. And, you know, to have this kind of push and this momentum with this song is really special. So thank you for
coming. No. Don't thank me. I'm going to say it again. I didn't do anything.
Except you allowed us to play it on your show, though.
Yes.
But again, I thought you'd come in, it'd be fine.
Right.
And then we'd have some fun because they look like Eddie and I, like a younger, better looking version of us.
I definitely had no ability in picking what a raw egg is out of it.
That was clear.
You got the first one, right?
Literally first one.
Yeah. I knew you'd do it too.
I knew it as well.
We had a game, for those that didn't hear the segment, where we had 10 eggs and we would take turns grabbing an egg and smashing it against our head. And only one of them was raw. The rest of them were going to be hard boiled, so they wouldn't really just go, they wouldn't really smash.
Yeah.
And Mitch grabs the one that is First egg, grabs it, smash, egg everywhere. Quickest, funniest bit ever.
It was great.
So anyway, all that aside, I'm super pumped that you guys are like getting the real shot.
Thanks,
I feel like,
man,
so far they've let you wade in a little bit.
Yeah. It's like we've been around, like we've been here for like, what, 4 years now since we signed the deal and released the first music. So it's kind of been like up and down, like around. And
now they're putting some money behind you though.
Yeah. And man, we've always worked super hard at this, and I feel like this is, you know, we feel super ready to kind of do this. And so it's very special for us to have this moment right now. And we just want to make sure we capitalize and give it the best, you know.
Let's go back. Let's go all the way back. You guys met each other in like, what are you, in Australia, what's elementary school called?
I guess.
Middle school?
school.
What's like, what's the age of elementary? Just so I
kindergarten through sixth grade.
Okay, so we like, we go kindergarten.
You go, how do you say it?
Kindergarten.
Kindergarten.
Do you don't say kindergarten?
Nah, we don't really pronounce our
kindy. We call it kindy.
But is it spelled kindergarten?
Yes. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Got it.
It's just kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Maybe I have like something wrong with my speech.
Your tongue is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird tongue situation. But yeah, kindergarten, middle school.
I guess, yeah.
High school. That's it.
But is kindergarten 1 grade?
Yeah.
It was like two years.
K-1, 2, 3.
No, for you it was 2 years. For the rest of us, it's one.
Okay.
Oh, but yeah, for Mitch, yeah.
I got it was actually 3 years. if we want to get into it.
You guys met at what stage of your childhood life did you guys meet?
We were 3 years old.
Oh, before school.
Yeah, we went to preschool. Mm. You call it? He was eating crayons, I think, one day.
I'm confused now.
There's no way you remember that meeting, though, at three. Yeah. I have no memories before 5.
I remember. Well, I actually have videos that help me remember, so that's probably what it is. But Tom was really big into eating sand back in the day. Like sandpit style. Just
still am.
Like something,
still am.
Yeah, something with the texture. But big we fan. Went to Seaforth Kindergarten, which was...
The town? Which or the area?
Yeah, suburb within Sydney where we met, and the kindergarten was called Seaforth.
Essentially, if we were from Nashville, we would be called Green Hills.
Yes.
You know?
So you meet then, but do you become friends or do you just know each other?
We know each other. We had like play dates, like our parents. Like I don't even know how that gets organized.
Did your parents
age,
know
like,
each other?
Yeah.
Through the kindergarten. And I feel like it's like a thing. Do the parents assume that the kids get along? So let's make them hang out kind of thing. Yeah. And that's kind of like the age that we would hang out, I guess. Like I have a vivid memory of stealing one of Tom's Pokemon cards. That's like one of the earliest memories I have of Tom and I going through his Pokemon collection and taking a card out of the sleeve. I can't remember exactly what the card was, but that was...
Furious.
That causes a lot of tension. This might
break the duo up.
Right now, you find out. Yeah, I think it's the one that Jake Paul had on his neck. What was that one, Mike?
The Charizard.
Yeah. Oh, you're all nerds. Great. That's awesome. Look at all you guys. So when did you actually become friends where it's like, okay, you're my guy and we're going to be friends?
We've been friends since we were young and we've kind of always like got along and laughed and like we made music together. Like we played music together through high school, like at different events and stuff. But then after high school, I moved to LA for a couple of years. Mitch was in Sydney doing his thing with a band. And then we started writing together around then, like 21-ish.
Were you in LA when you were writing? Were you writing online?
Yeah, we wrote we were sending songs back and forth via Skype. And then we kind of wrote once, but then I went back to Australia to visit my family and stuff one time when I was about 20, 21, and we wrote together and we were like, this feels like something really cool. And then we kind of just were like, let's just do this. Like, let's focus on this.
Did you move to LA to do music, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
You did?
Yeah.
And so...
Ended up getting a job at In-N-Out Burger, and that was kind of the peak.
So that, the LA trip wasn't good for you?
No, I know it was, man. I didn't have a job at In-N-Out, but I
you did have a job at Big Wang's.
I had a place at a job at a sports bar called Big Wang's, and I only realized years later what it was kind of implying.
You didn't know then you were working at a sports bar that was named after a large penis?
Well, then it was like Wings, though, as well, because it was known for its wings. And I was
Wangs.
Like, yeah, Wang's, yeah. So now I figured it out, and there's just a lot of revelation coming into my... atmosphere today about the Pokemon card and Big Wings. It's a lot to take in. Yeah.
You moved to LA to pursue a solo career?
Yeah. We both did individual things and it was great, man. I learned a lot there and made some connections with people I'm still friends with and stuff. And then, but then this just felt like the right thing. And so I was like, Nashville was the end goal. And so I was like, I'm going to move back to Australia, focus on this for a couple of years with the end goal of moving to Nashville.
And so what kind of band were you in? Mitch, back in Australia.
So I started a band when I was like, I think 12, 13, and it was like rock. Mm-hmm. Just
like a punk rock band
It was kind of like we were playing like almost Fleetwood Mac style-ish kind of music, like soft rock, classic rock.
Very soft.
And as 13-year-olds, which is kind of weird, but like we just loved it was just like garage stuff, like messing around. We do band competitions and I can't think we won one band competition, which was the peak. And at that age, I was like, this is it. We're going to be massive. Like, this is everything. And then some things happened. The band fell apart. And then I was like, just
things happened.
Like,
they grew armpit hair.
Yeah.
Their voices changed. Yeah.
Realized we were not talented at all. And then
you're playing the instruments though at 13. Tom, when did you start?
Yeah. I started playing guitar when I was like 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who put it in your hand and why?
He was the child prodigy.
Were you really?
And my story kind of links with him, which is kind of funny, but like I was looking up to Tom. Like, I remember my first day at school, at high school, it was like year 5 for us, so I think we're like 10 years old, and Tom did a performance for the whole grade because we're in the same grade. And I think you did like Smells Like Teen Spirit or something like that with your blue Squire.
That's funny.
Or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
You did Smells Like Teen Spirit alone?
I did Smells Like Teen Spirit, and I think I did The Anthem by Good Charlotte.
Yes, The Anthem. That was it.
This is The Anthem. Yeah.
And Tom would do that. And like I knew Tom was an artist. This was before I'd ever like, I'd sung, but I didn't play guitar at all. And I remember seeing him being like, I need to do this too. I was like, I'm going to do this. So he kind of like inspired me at that age to like get involved. And I was like, I don't know if it was jealousy, but probably a healthy like, motivated jealousy of like I want to do that, be able to do that too. So then I was learning. I was never as good as Tommy, but then we would start to play like school functions and stuff. We was the first collaboration, like parent teacher cocktail parties when we were like 13, 14, and then people were like, you guys are cool. And I feel like I was the first one that like hinted like we should like team up sometime, and like, and he was like, no. Like, never.
Nah, I never said that.
So yeah. Who does most of the singing? Because when you guys sang in front of me, you both sang.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
like, what's the rule with you guys on that?
We essentially have these, we have a couple of sets of boxing gloves, and when we write a song, we get the gloves out and just kind of, and he's much stronger than I am, so he ends up winning most of the time and sings the choruses, therefore. No, I mean, the way that we've just kind of figured it out is like, the identifiable thing, I think, is like Mitch singing the chorus, because it's like, you know, if you switch it out like too much, it becomes like, I don't know. Mitch sings chorus, and then we'll kind of trade off verses or pray or whatever, and then like harmonies. But it's super, everything we do is like super collaborative, and it's like a very, like,
both of us.
The fact that you were both singing verses, I thought was super cool.
Yeah.
Regardless of who's singing the chorus, like you have, you literally have two lead singers.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, we're both singing the chorus.
Yeah.
We wanted to like have a prominent in the record that like Tom's part is like very easily heard. It's like we're both sharing it. It's like we're harmonizing the whole time. But and also another cool thing is like Tom's guitar ability and like having his guitar personality also shine out. Like as we grow and can like have budget around shows, it's like revealing him as an incredible guitarist that he is as well.
Are you really good at playing the guitar?
He is.
He is. He really.
Yes.
Don't be humble. I'm asking a real question. I'm not.
I don't know. I don't know.
He's
I
would. Good.
I know. I've played for a long time, so I feel comfortable, but I feel like here's the thing. I feel like maybe it's being Australian, and I've struggled with this for a while. I'm really bad at letting people know that I do what I do. Like I produced breakups in like a spare room, you know, and I'm producing this stuff for us now. And like I said, everything's very collaborative, but it's like, I'm really bad at like being like, here's me playing guitar. Or like, here, like I, you know, we're producing or anything like that.
Yeah.
So it's like funny. So I get weird talking.
Or I almost have to be like, force you to be like, you need to like show off here. Like let the people know, like, you're good. Like
it's
what
a
you
bit
do.
Dan Smyers-ish.
Yeah,
he's a close friend of mine.
Yeah, for sure.
You wouldn't. That guy, he will go into a room at 6 a.m. and you might see him that day.
Right.
You might.
Yeah. Right.
Might see him that
day. Yeah. Yeah.
And you can attest, dude. Yeah, I literally, we live in the same. I wake up and I walk downstairs and I sit in the studio room in the house, and I will do anything from making like trap beats of like Hava Nagila to like working on Seaforth stuff to like just playing, like doing whatever. But I'm kind of the same, and I don't know. Yeah.
And in that group, because Shay is the one that's singing the big parts of the songs, people are like, dang, Shay, but they have no idea that Dan's as instrumental. Like,
oh, yeah.
They are walking right beside each other.
100%. Yeah. Like, it's like the working, like the partnership that, like, is necessary.
And Dan doesn't go, hey, look at my Superman on my chest. He's just like, I'm doing what I'm doing because look what we're doing together. And it seems like that's a bit of what it's like with you too, Tom.
Exactly, 100%. Man. Yeah, for sure. And it's like, it is that way. And I feel like they would probably say the same thing, that it's like, it wouldn't be Seaforth without both of us, and it wouldn't be them without both of them. Like, it's like that kind of thing. And we're super, like, you know, I'm never ever precious about anything. Like, it's like, we know that, and I'm just sometimes bad at letting people know that I do what I do or we do what we do. So,
well, luckily, Mitch tells everyone, I'm great. So you guys are all caught up there.
He was going to wear his I'm great t-shirt today, but it was in the wash, wasn't it?
Have
you guys had more disagreements as roommates living life or as artists together?
When have we?
It's weird. I don't think we have any like big disagreements. Well, I feel like luckily musically we're all kind of like, it's always been like the same vision, same.
Never though do we cut this song. I don't think this is a song. Or do, like
we end
you
like,
drank too much milk. You put it back in and there's no milk left.
That's a big problem. Big problem.
No, I don't think. I started labeling my oat milk in the fridge just in case, but I only did that one time and we were all good. There was
you guys are giving off this fairy tale vibe that it's great in both. I'm just not buying that.
Genuinely,
honestly,
like everything that we're doing, it's like we have the same focus, the same ideas for where we want it to go, and it's always like, yes, this lines up. This is great.
Yeah.
Which might be scary because maybe we're due for a big
blowout.
Just
one step away. Just... When you're a kid and you're really good at something, Tom, like playing the guitar, when did you start to actually be pretty good at playing? And you could pick it up and go, oh, okay, I can actually make songs.
I mean, I kind of always was trying to do that. And I think from like a young age, I mean, I used to think I was like good. And then I look back now and I'm like, I wasn't, you know, but I feel like I kind of got comfortable with it around like 17, 18, where I felt like I could like play parts and like kind of track things and like be more creative like that. But yeah, man, I've always just, that's literally been the only thing I've ever known how to do is like make music. I can't change a tire. I don't fit like Mitch grew up fishing. I don't do any of that. I literally just like make music. And that's
when you're 10 years old, did you play guitar?
Yeah.
And could you play songs?
I learned like AC/DC songs when I was
really
young.
But you could
play a
song at 10. You could take a music book.
Yeah, I was entering like busking competitions. You know, like, but I feel like people don't busk in the US, but like, it's like street performing, whatever. But I was entering busking competitions when I was like 10, 11, and like I like won a couple. And I was much like the young kid factor as well.
What's a busking competition, though? Is it who can last for 10 days without dying?
Right. Yeah, it was that.
That's a confusing thing.
I was conditioned.
You're technically not busking, then you're just playing guitar.
It's essentially like, it's essentially like local buskers would enter this competition and whatever. And like, I remember I got up and I sang Tribute by Tenacious D. And then I did like Stairway to Heaven.
That's
and I was
right.
just like young, like 10, 11 year old kid. And I feel like it was like the kid factor where everyone's like, oh, not like nice. But yeah, it was.
You had those big checks.
I won $1,000, dude. I had this massive check. It was like $1,000. I was like, I'm so rich.
Yeah, you were though. $1,000
at that age. $1,000 to 10 is like,
That's like 4 Pokemons, right?
Oh, yeah.
I did.
I invested it in Dogecoin back then.
I look at, listen, don't get me started. I'm way down on Dogecoin right now.
Oh, you are?
You're down? When did you get in?
I got in when it was about 52 cents.
Okay.
Dude, we got in at 0.07 cents.
Wait, what is it? No, wait, what is it now?
Hold on.
It's at 37.
It's going back down to 37?
Yeah.
Today was not a great. I got in
it's at 32
before
today.
It peaked.
Got you.
Yep.
Because then it had that moment.
But it had a huge moment and I was like, I'm rich.
Yeah.
And then it was like,
I love how we're saying we got in. We put like $100 in. But
it's at 34 right now.
34.
Yeah. But we got in at like 0.07.
Yeah.
$100 then.
So, and then they're like, we want 1.2 million.
Yeah,
like,
literally.
Yep. Do you still have your $100 in?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just leaving.
I'm holding it.
Who knows? I'm like, if I lose the
$100. I'm holding mine too.
Yeah.
And I don't have
to the moon. Diamond hands.
Today's
the two terms I know.
For me, though, today's return, I have made today $119. $121 just went up.
That is powerful.
For today, yeah. I get on Robinhood.
Yeah, we're on
Robinhood.
Bitcoin.
We're on the hood.
Has done pretty well today, too.
I don't have any Bitcoin.
Well, that's the one, though, that's really going to last.
Right.
Like, Doge is going to be funny.
Yeah.
And go up and down.
It's like a thing for me that if I can look at it in 10 years and I'm like, wow, I made $1 million. That's amazing. Or I lost $100. Oh. No.
Yeah, but let's say it hits and you have $200,000 in there. And $100 goes to $200,000. You're probably selling half of that, right?
Right, yes. At what point do you
I want to take half because then if I lose it all, then I'd be devastated myself. So I'd do half and then see what happens after that.
Okay, there's a whole financial strategy someone can take from this podcast.
This is great.
Live a great life.
That's why we're here, actually, just to talk about that. So I'm glad we made it.
You guys getting ready for you guys went out with Jordan Davis?
Yes. Yeah. This fall.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, man. Pumped.
How many shows is that? Do you know?
17, 18, I believe.
How many?
17 or 18.
Sometimes when you say words, I don't know.
17, 18?
Yeah.
Can we get a translation, please?
What's funny is a little bit I do all right with you guys because I have a really close friend who's Australian who moved over to play music and she lived with me for a while. She toured and opened for me when I was doing stand-up for a long time. But she would just always talk, and it's like a learned.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's like I kind of know what your ridiculous things are now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I went over there, and here's the weird thing about when you guys would come back and forth, 2017 or so, you guys start coming back and forth. Is that right?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
we moved officially in 17.
You
started
did
coming
move.
Back and forth like 14, 15.
Okay, so how many times a year though? Before I tell you my story,
once, maybe twice.
Yeah, like, sometimes two, majority once because we'd have to save up money and we weren't.
Okay, if I thought you were going to say it's like every month. I was going to tell you guys, that's the longest freaking flight.
Oh, dude, it's pain. Pain.
It sucks. And like my ankles were hurting. I was dehydrated. My legs hurt.
Do you sleep on planes?
I've gotten better at it because there was a span of about 6 months where the only sleep I was getting for the most part was on planes because I was just traveling, working.
Okay, yeah.
but I don't like sleeping on planes.
Dude, I can't do it.
And I used to take sleeping pills.
Okay.
But I was afraid I was going to wake up like, or someone was going to put me in jail for like pooping in the aisle. Because I don't know where I go.
You just happened to be like off it.
Yeah. Yeah. Happened to me, yeah, it's
tough.
Not fun.
It's tough. And it just goes straight down the back and everyone's like, why? It's my feet swell up like balloons and I'm like, I'll wake up and I'm like, my shoes are going to explode and I'm going to
That's what I was saying with my legs.
Blood out my toenails or something.
Longest flight. Lovely country.
Great country.
Longest flight.
Yeah, heinous flight.
You would fly over. Like, tell me what you do, though, because you save up money. How long do you come over here, and then what do you do while you're here?
So we have a three-month visa. It's a holiday visa is what we're allowed. So we could do 3 months. We're not allowed to work or make any money out here. We could just go. I think technically there was some weird stuff about even riding with people because we're creating something that they could.
That many rules now? You can't even ride.
Yeah, like, but they're not.
They're not cracking down. But we would just come out, write music, come back, like spend everything that we'd saved up, and then
We would do weddings in Australia. We'd do weddings and cover gigs, and we'd get up and we'd sing Valerie every four times a week. And
Valerie.
Just like the cover circuit in Australia.
Valerie, what's that mean?
Amy Winehouse.
Oh, the song.
We'd sing like all the classics, dude. And we would do, three gigs, four gigs a week, save up money and come out here, spend it all, go back broke and do it again.
Although I don't think Valerie's a classic here, Mike.
I don't think it is. No.
Is the songbook probably different?
It is probably different. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Valerie is
like the first, like the start, like the first like dance set of a wedding where the band kicks in. It's always da da boom
boom. What is Valerie? What's the melody? Sing.
Sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water.
I don't know if I've ever heard that, Mike.
Why don't you come on over, Valerie?
You don't know it?
Uh-huh. Oh, dude, it's a classic in Australia, bro. Weddings and stuff.
Yeah. Is that a horn you're doing?
Yeah.
Nice trumpet.
That's good.
That was a big part of the set too. Lots of trumpet.
Dude, we played an acoustic show, a couple of acoustic shows at Eddie's Attic the other week, and literally in one of the songs on the first night, I was like, trumpet solo, like just whatever, bro. He's like, and just rips it. It was funny.
That's pretty good though.
Not bad.
Yeah. So you come over for three, do you stay the full 3 months?
Yeah.
Where do you, two questions, you can answer it all together.
Great.
Where do you stay?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you line up rights because you've been living in Australia?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you know the dumpster out behind McDonald's on Nolansville?
I do.
Anyway, it's got nothing to do with this, but just want to make sure anyway. You may as well take
that. Well, no, I mean, we stayed in Airbnbs wherever we could afford, and a friend of mine from LA who used to work at a licensing company that I was working with. Her name's Katie. She now works at Warner Chapel. She's amazing, but she booked us rights when we first started coming out. And we were super stoked, man. Like from the beginning, like there were people just writing, like we're just two random dudes from Australia and we're writing with people like Jeffrey Steele and all these other like amazing writers around town. We're like, how are we getting in with these people? But yeah, man, we had like one champion in the beginning and then just made some friends. And
we stayed on that champion's couch for a month or so.
Yeah.
A couple times. And
did you write anything good while you're out here?
When we'd come out, we'd write, we'd go back home and we'd produce the demos in Oz. And the first, I think we put together like four songs that we thought like accurately captured what we were doing and where we wanted to head. And we took those songs that we'd written here, produced them back in Oz. When we came back out is when our manager at the time had sent them out to all the labels in town. And that was stuff that we'd written here. And I think it was, I'm not sure if any of those songs are still
in contention.
Yes. But some of them
maybe got you in contention.
But, yes. But they, yeah. Exactly right. Yeah. They got us into the door. That's essentially got us the record deal.
Yeah.
And then we started writing just so much more and progressing over like the next year as we lived here. And then we kind of just surpassed those songs, I think.
Did you get a deal and then move here? Or did you move here and get a deal?
We had to get a deal to move here. And so it was funny, man. We needed to get our visa. So our label sponsored our visa. But we got the deal. And it was a crazy, like the whole 2 week experience was wild. But we ended up signing with Sony. And then we flew back to Australia. And we were like, we're going to be back within 6 weeks. We just got to get it approved. And like we like planned this farewell show and like canceled all the wedding gigs and stuff. And then and then the visas ended up taking like 6.5 months. And so we had to rebook weddings and we had this farewell show and then ended up sticking around for like another 5 months and people were like,
see you guys.
You guys actually leaving? Or?
People started thinking that we were just lying about the deal.
Yeah.
Like one time genuinely. In first grade, I was, my mom said, hey, we have to move schools. And as a young kid, you're like, oh, crap. She's like, we're moving schools. Tell your teachers this will be your last day. And so I go and I'm like, hey, Friday's gonna be my last day. My mom says we have to move. And so the teacher's like, okay, on Friday, we're throwing you a party.
Yes.
So on Friday, they have this big party for me, and it's great. It's fantastic. I'm like, wow, I never felt so loved in my life. And so I go home. I was like, oh, threw me a big party. Saturday comes. She goes, oh, she goes, hey, the house we're moving to, we can't move into it. We got to go back to the school. Yeah, so you have to go back.
Oh, no.
And I remember being humiliated.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, do I have to go back? She was like, yeah, you have to just get on the bus.
Just
yeah,
for, like
no, for good. And so it was, I was there another year, but I had to go back. I showed up on Monday.
Like,
I showed up Monday. And they were like, wait, why are you here? And I was like, and then they started thinking I like
just
did the whole thing for the party and the sympathy. Yeah. So like I felt that. What you just did. Like,
yeah, yeah. You're like, no.
Incredible.
So it takes 6 months for you guys to be able to get back. Oh, is it 6 months where you know it's going to be 6 months, or is it like, okay, this week can we go?
It's pretty it was much. A little bit like that.
And yeah. I think we were just hounding.
We had the application finished, ready to go. And then the person that put our application got fired or left the company. And then the person that was overseeing it said, look, she kind of did a half-assed job. We can't use this. We have to do the whole thing again. So they went and redid it, and we're like sitting there like, okay, a couple more weddings. We can do it. It's all good, but
it was all worth it when we got out here. Yeah,
it was fine.
Would you do a wedding just you two, or do you have a full band?
We had a full band. Tom would play bass. I'd play electric. And then we had like either keys, drums, and it would like, the rotation would change.
Australian Girls Choir sometimes would come and join and sing.
Harpsichord player.
I got to imagine though, because I would read stories about the Beatles in Germany. They would just play this one club, and they'd play for like 5-6 hours.
Yeah.
Sometimes longer than that.
Yeah.
And the same, they would do cover songs.
Yeah.
And they would, sometimes they'd have to just do them again. You know, they play for 3-4 hours and start over
and just do the same. Yeah.
I would just imagine there's kind of like a music school you go through that almost is needed by every artist.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when someone plays on Broadway.
Yeah.
Because
a lot of folks come through here that played on Broadway. They're now big stars now.
Yeah.
Where they're like, I had to play 4 hours and I didn't play anything I knew. I would think playing at weddings is that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's
went through that, the whole thing. Like, obviously, like everyone comes here and starts on Broadway. I'm like, I feel like we did our Broadway stint, but in Australia. Like, we were playing at multiple different bars, venues, small acoustic places to the weddings and stuff that we did for multiple years.
We literally signed the deal with Sony, and it was such this high, and we had this amazing trip, amazing experience, and I flew back and I had a gig booked from before we'd come over, before we knew we were signing anything at this, like, Diggers Club in Australia, like this, like, RSL.
What's that mean, Diggers?
It's essentially
it's like a war memorial.
A war memorial kind of club. Like a lot of like older like families and stuff will go. And it was like with a friend of mine, and it was like 2 nights after I got back, this amazing trip, and I go and I set up at this PA, and there's like 3 people in this old like club sitting there, and I'm singing for like
they're
4 hours.
Like yelling at you.
Oh, they're like, can you play this? And I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is just the most polar opposite worlds right now. Like it's crazy.
I have to imagine too that since you're from Australia, the first question that people want to know when they don't know much about you is, hey, something, 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 Keith Urban.
Right.
Right. Don't you walk into that question almost immediately with someone?
Yes. It definitely frequents. Yeah. And then we also like bring ourselves into it too, because it is right. Like he is a huge part of why we know what Nashville is and why we were introduced to country music. So it makes sense. And like we definitely speak about that. But it is like the easiest first thing to bring up for sure.
Yeah.
Keith and I are friends.
Yeah.
I would say more than friendly, but less than like best buds. He's never here long enough, right?
Right. Yeah.
But we're in that stage where like Avenue Show that just came out, and he watched all 4 episodes and he was like, dang, this show's freaking good.
Yeah.
And so we'll send each other music and stuff. And when I went to Australia, he texted me, and he happened to be in Australia at the same time. He's like, hey, come over. And so I go over to his house, and I'm like, hey, I was looking on, I say to him, I was like, I was flipping through the channels here, and I was looking on the radio, and I couldn't find like a country music station. Mm-hmm. And you can tell me if it's changed. But he was like, you're really not going to. I also heard his song that was country here on the pop station.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I said, what's up with that? He goes, well, country now for the most part in Australia, if you're going to find it, it's almost like an AM station. And it's going to be a lot of Australian-based, like traditional Australian country.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it's more traditional. Yeah.
And he said, so to make it. Yeah. That's what he said. So to make it kind of country, you got to kind of be pop.
Right.
Or to cross. And so I was like, well, that's interesting that like mainstream country doesn't really have a home yet in Australia.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys, how did you get to country music?
100%. And that's the funny thing. And that's what we always say. And is I feel like you in hearing that fully understand what we usually say, which is like, you don't find country music unless you look for it, particularly growing up in like metropolitan Sydney. Yeah. Like, and so when we discovered Keith, like I heard Golden Road, that album when it came out, and I was like, this is incredible. Like, what is this? Like, and I know it's the same thing for Mitch, and it's like, that was like the first discovery of like, this feels like what we're trying to do, you know, like even like playing guitar and like the guitar solos and the lyrics and the storytelling. And from there, we like dived down the rabbit hole and discovered all these other artists and different things. But Keith was like the door, because he's kind of like the hometown hero, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Can you play guitar?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I asked
he undersells
like,
himself he, as much as I do.
So you're a decent rhythm for his lead.
Terrible rhythm.
But if you're, but if he's,
no, yeah, we both, you, yeah.
Because he can play, he can really play,
he
right?
Can, yeah. I can do some things, but he's just in that.
So is your job then, as you're playing, are you mostly holding down the rhythm part?
Well, funnily enough, when we play acoustic, I play the not so much lead, like I'm not ripping solos, but I'm doing like the parts. But then when we get on stage with a full band, I'm on acoustic, he's electric, and he's doing all that. That's when he actually gets to like, or have a rip.
So define. Again, that's one.
And,
that
then, and then play guitar.
Yeah. So he got in trouble for for that back in Oz, but apparently people are cool with it over here. No.
Reference?
That's what it sounded like, and that's why I regretted saying it immediately. He definitely does not on stage.
No, I didn't say it, but I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out the terminology.
Oh, yeah.
If you were to have...
Say, that's not a term here?
No.
So you know, you say... I mean, like, people know, like, you're... Like,
you're
that term?
Kind of?
That technically,
but
yeah,
not
that's...
Really.
That's... Like,
okay.
If you're like...
But that's not... Hold on.
Anyway, that's what the term you'd say. But you can also... Like, we also just say stupid stuff that doesn't make...
Yeah. Dude.
It's not the actual meaning of it. But like, we'd be like, he's playing guitar and he's like ripping it. Like, I'm like, he's having on the guitar. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And what we will do with this part of the thing, Mike will put bleeps over the certain things here.
Amazing.
Yes, so people can just figure out what you just said.
Amazing.
Yes,
but he's... What would you call it? I would always say having a rip.
I don't know. I guess... I don't know. I play.
Yeah.
I get to actually play properly.
Is when he actually plays, and then acoustic is when I kind of like just do the parts.
You guys still in your 20s?
Yes.
How old are you guys?
27. Yeah, both.
Same?
Yeah.
Man, you guys are, I mean, that's great. It's the perfect age to just get a deal and just get started. Like, it's fantastic.
It's funny, man. It does feel like we've been kind of, I'm getting old. Like,
you're old enough to know better.
Yeah.
But you still got a lot of good years before people start to look at you unfairly and go, they're kind of old.
Yeah.
And I feel like you say, like it does feel like, you know, and this song, God willing, and you know, hoping all things go the way that we hope they do, like is hopefully going to be the, you know, a door that helps open, you know.
It really kicks
the, you know, the future for us. Because man, like, yeah, like we say, we've literally known each other our whole lives and like could not be more genuine and serious about this. It's like people kind of sometimes being like, oh, like, where'd you guys come from? Like, what's the deal? Like, you know, whatever. And it's like, this is like, we're literally like lifelong friends. We have photos as like 6-year-olds and like playing soccer together and stuff. And it's like, you know, so, you know, every moment is really special. And like, I heard Breakups on terrestrial radio just randomly in the car the other night. For the first time, like just, you know, and it was like, it was so emotional for me, man. Like I literally started crying. I was like, this is insane that like, I had to think, cause it's like of the past year and everything, like this was such a moment. And like, I called my family back home. I called like my friends and I was like, this is just insane to me. They're like, you know, it kind of reminds you like where you have been and where you are now. And it's like,
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There are three levels of getting your music played and why each of them are super cool. And first of all, to get put on a big playlist is cool.
Yes. Yeah.
So if they're like Hot Country on Spotify.
Yeah.
You guys been on that yet?
That was our first this year. Yeah.
And that's cool because you're like, okay, I made the big playlist. I'm going to get some streams. Maybe people will discover me through this list.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's like, you know, 40, 50 songs and hopefully somebody just hits play and comes across your
stuff. Yeah.
Like that's like the first one where you're like, okay, feeling freaking good about this. Because sometimes I just put some random crap on there that I'm like, why is this even on here? But most of the time they do a really good job.
Yeah, for sure.
And they do, you know, kind of curate a good list. The second one is Satellite, because they can play anything and ratings don't matter, but they only have so many slots.
Right. Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
And that's like level two where you're like, this is freaking cool.
And that's like when we get people like sending in like, breakups
tagging
playing, and we're
you.
Like, I don't even
like,
have a car that has Satellite, but that's so awesome to know it's happening.
No. Yeah. But three is because normal radio, terrestrial radio, only has so many spots.
Yeah.
And they have to get ratings. If they play, I don't pick and play music, right?
Yeah.
So I do say they because I don't program music.
Yes. Yeah.
If they pick a song that's a real turd, people will change it.
Right.
And that will affect their livelihood.
Yes.
Right.
Like program director. So that's why programs are so tight with songs now more than ever before, because one, it's hard to keep a job in anything creative. And then two, if you play a song that you can look and everybody turned it off, your boss can be like, why'd you play that stupid song?
Yeah.
The fact that you're now getting played on Tourette's. That's the next big step.
Yeah, man, for sure.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And all of them are equally great.
Yeah.
And they're all just in different ways.
Yeah.
100%.
And so for you to experience all three now, like, I love it for you guys.
Thanks, man.
It's wild. Yeah. And it just feels, it's like, you know, you can't prepare yourself for it until it's like actually happening. And I turned it on the station completely by accident.
And which that's was also even more the best. Special.
It wasn't like, because at 8 p.m., yes. Look at it now. I literally flicking through, ding, the beginning of the song. I'm like, oh,
yeah, that's
Tom,
cool.
We're on the radio. Quickly go and listen. Like,
I don't think it counts.
Natural.
Whenever some, because I'll see some of my friends who are artists be like, all right, I'm going to go to the station in Rochester. I'm going to do an interview. And they're like, okay.
They're going to play it as they leave.
They're like, okay, go to your car and turn it on. I'm going to play it. And they're like, oh, I'm hearing myself on the radio the first time. Yeah. That doesn't count. Yeah.
And, right. we did have that with our, like, our first single, I remember, which was still special, but like a complete accident, which also happened on, we had on Sirius for the first time only 2 weeks ago as well. Like, it had been playing for a minute after we
just
did
to hear randomly is amazing, right?
We did our first headline shows in over a year. In a year, actually, ever. We haven't headlined before. After the final show, driving back, turned Sirius on. It was literally like the song had started. Like, Pete, our manager.
Love it.
I thought he was just playing on his iPod. It had just begun. And I was like, that's so incredible.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah.
When,
yeah.
when they're just playing it and they're not playing it because you're listening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're playing it for everybody else to hear.
That's, exactly. That's exactly right.
Man,
dude.
Congratulations,
guys. Thanks, man.
Who is this guy in here with you right now?
This is Petey.
That's the guy.
That's the guy.
Mike, can you turn that mic? By the way, it is hot as balls in here. I guess we didn't turn. There's five of us in here.
Steaming Spielberg.
Pete, come up to the microphone for a second. Let me ask you a couple questions.
Petey!
Are you Australian?
I'm not.
Okay. Thank God.
Too much.
You may not even need those because we're not going to play any clips. You can just listen to me. We have another chair there for you, Pete.
Here, I'll swap
How
out.
Tall are you, Pete?
7'4".
Are you? You're a big guy, right? Yeah. Okay, so let me describe Pete to you. 6'3", he's wearing a button-up shirt with a collar. He's got a kind of a cropped hairdo. Good-looking fella. Very, very generous face. Like, you know, he's going to be a pretty nice. Is he a pretty nice guy?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Legend. Pete, how long have you been managing these guys?
It's been about a year and a half now.
How did you get into business with them?
Well, so I work at a management company with a guy named Bruce Kalmick.
What's the company called?
Why and How.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you know Bruce?
And I do not. Who else does Why and How manage?
So we have like Chase Rice, Kelly Bannon, 1,000 Horses. We have about 15 artists.
You have real acts.
Yeah.
Great. I'm not that cool. So it's the fact that I don't know it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
That's okay.
So you're at Why and Now. And were you managing somebody else?
I have another artist on Warner. His name is Tyler Braden.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know of him.
Former firefighter.
Maybe. Yeah. That's a whole other day.
Yep.
We're here for C4th. So you're managing Tyler Braden. And do you get the email, like at my management company, which I manage by Red Light.
Right.
Someone will come in and go, hey, we found this guy. It's pretty cool. Anyone will take a meeting and see if they like him. Did that happen with these guys or did you kind of get onto them yourself?
I actually found him. I was on Spotify randomly. And
nice.
I was talking with Bruce and I was like, dude, I've been looking for a duo. And so they were on the Mitchell Timpani tour at the time. And I was like, I'm flying to Detroit. I'm going to go see these guys.
So you flew to Detroit even though they lived here and you lived here?
Yeah.
Nice. Did you tell them you were coming?
Because it's a different element when you're here. Like, there's so many industry people around them all the time. And it's just like, then it's like, you know, a bunch of sharks in the water. And I was like, I want to go meet these guys on the road where it's going to be just me and them.
Yeah, good for you.
And it was awesome. We hit it off right away.
Did they know you were coming?
Yeah.
Okay. So did you guys plan, hey, you turn it up a little bit? Level.
I think we played even worse.
Yeah, I think we tried to see how committed he really was.
Let's really see if he wants.
Yeah, let's see how badly he really wants to.
Into a massive fight just to see if he can deal with it. Yeah, it was great.
So you go up and tell me how this works. You go up, because I only know my situation. You go up and you see these guys and you go, hey, let me take you to dinner when you get back in town. Let's talk. Like, what happens?
Yeah, so I think I flew in late. So you guys were, it was pretty much, the
right
show
as
was
we
starting.
Yeah.
So we got a little green room hang, had a couple of drinks, and then they went on, and I got to watch the show from front of house, and I was like, wow. I just saw the crowd reacting because it was a time the Mitchell's, Yours and Mitchell's song was out, and it was starting to react. And
What song was it?
Anything She Says.
And the crowd was just going crazy, and I was like, there's something special here, and it was basically what you were saying as well. I mean, it's like they both sing, they both play, and it's like, okay, I'm in. And
were you like me too, where you're like, I bet it's gonna be good?
Yeah.
But then you're like,
Oh, exactly.
Good gracious, it's better than good. And like, you're a little bit shocked, right?
I was shocked. I called Bruce right after the show. I was like, dude, we've got to get on these guys. So.
And here's the annoying thing: you're also good looking. Like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate
it. As a compliment, yeah. You're also good looking guys. You would expect.
Well, you know, we've modeled our whole look after y'all, so
you're better looking than we are. So you signed these guys, but what did you start doing with them that hadn't been done yet?
COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, was literally, that was right before.
As we started.
So we signed them, and they were in. They were playing C2C, and they were in Scotland and heading to London. And I was on the phone. I was watching the news, and I was like, "Oh man, this is not good because they are not U.S. citizens."
You were there when it was happening. They were shutting things down. Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I saw Trump was on saying that they were going to basically close the borders, and I was like, "We've got to get them back because if they're not citizens, they won't be able to get back."
Yeah.
So I called them, and it was like the first call I had to make to them as a manager when they were. I was like, "You guys got to." You got to come home.
Dude,
we just got over here.
We just
landed.
It was like a life thing for me to go to, like, because you've been to England before, but I've never been. And I've always had this thing for like Ireland, Scotland, England. I've always wanted to go. And we landed in London. I'm like, yes. I'm like puppy dog. I'm head out the window, like stoked. I've got this like little itinerary plan, tongue flapping. And then literally we get to the hotel and we get a call. It's like, you guys got to come back. And we got to the hotel at like 7 p.m., woke up at like 4:30 a.m. the next day and flew home. And I was devastated.
This was literally as we started the new management.
Like, yeah.
But thank God you called them.
I know.
Yeah. They closed the borders literally 6 p.m. that night as they landed.
We were walking through the airport as Trump was like, we've shut off.
So this is the first real time that you've had to work with them. Hey, what a great time to get in with them, though. They have you had a lot to do with this, too, I'm sure. Like, a great song.
Yeah.
It's not only is it really good, it's also produced really well. Like, it's like the right piece of music, right piece of for right now. Yeah. And so what are you going to do different with, like, what's the plan for them? Like, what do you see these guys doing?
I think they're going to thrive now that live shows are back. I mean, people get to see like what they actually do.
Is that what's strong for in your mind?
And the catalog of music that we have that's just waiting that they've, you know, been recording and working on over quarantine is, I mean, next level. It's so good.
Is there anything that I've said that you disagree with through this interview? I've been seeing you sitting over there, and it's hard to see. You got all these cameras in the way. Like, anything where you're like, you know, it's kind of off there.
No, not really. I mean, they are really who they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's been honestly, like, I've been doing this for 20 years, and it's really like a pleasure working with them.
You look like you're like 19 years old. Have you been doing this for 20 years?
I'm 42, but thank you.
Oh, jeez. Well, we rarely pull the manager on here, but you know. I'm always interested to know whenever someone is going.
It made me cry.
That was very sweet.
Did you have management at all before him?
We have, yeah.
Okay, so he's not your very first manager ever.
No.
But he's like the guy that was taking you to the next level.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, I feel like this is,
we've had our run.
Yeah. Well, good for you guys. All right. Well, you can sit back down in the big chair.
Thanks, Pete.
He was aching to get out of that chair. He wanted to get away from the mic, so I was like, you go ahead. Mitch, you able to get LASIK?
The thing is, at this point...
Because you wear glasses like me, dark rim glasses.
Yeah, and I am very blind.
Same.
At this point, I'm like, I kind of like the glasses now. I never wore glasses until I moved here. I'd always had bad eyesight, but I'd always wore contacts. But I hated waking up in the morning and being like blind until I got to the bathroom and put contact lenses in. I just wanted something to wear. Now I'm like just so used to it, and it's kind of become part of the image now.
Dude,
also.
The EP cover for the first EP we put out, the original photo, Mitch didn't have glasses on, and Randy Goodman, head of the label, called us and was like, Mitch, we need a Photoshop glasses.
He's like, where are your glasses? That's become the thing.
I completely get it.
And he was like, we're putting them on. And then it's just become part of it. And now I'm like, now I'll be insecure if I don't have my glasses on.
You are... slight, and I'm not even joking, you're a little better looking than I am, but I'm gonna say that you could but not have glasses and still be a good looking guy. I need glasses because I'm generic white guy. Like, I'm just generic white guy.
Nah.
And so when I was younger, I loved Buddy Holly, who's an artist from the 50s. And then I'm a massive Weezer fan.
Okay. Dude,
and so as I look for nerds that were cool, I was like, man, those guys do it, and they're nerds and they're cool. And like, I needed something, mm-hmm. and that's where mine comes. I'm also, my right eye doesn't work. It's like 5%.
Really?
Yeah, wow. And I'm terribly colorblind, and my left eye's
wow.
Dude.
So, but these for me was almost like a superhero costume.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I put them on, and I was like,
you have this confidence.
Yeah, you're like okay, people can't even really see me.
Yeah,
I think too that like my fiance, I think she, it hides how goofy my face is. I think she likes that a little bit.
I think
bit.
You're putting it a little hot on yourself, mate.
Let me ask you this before we go, because for some reason, I guess we didn't turn the air down before you guys got here. We wanted to make it as Australia as possible.
Perfect. Yeah. It's like the outback.
Is believing in aliens an American thing, or do you guys do it over there too? Because we're having a lot of UFO stuff over
I will
here
say,
now.
I think it's more of an American thing.
Because
I think it exists. It exists everywhere. Technically, though, I do believe that there is life out there, 100%.
You just end with
actually,
that.
I guess
he just ends right there. It's like, here's what I believe. Yeah. There's I believe. A life out there.
Thank
that's
you.
It.
All right.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
He's been waiting to say that.
That's
he's
what
making
I
making a definitive
yeah.
point about.
I think it's more of a like it's in the. I mean, also I haven't been in Australia in a long time, but like it's all over like, your TikTok and Instagram, like all the like the new UFO mm-hmm. sightings, which are actually older videos that are just resurfaced, and it's like propaganda and like everyone's talking about it here. I don't know if that happened as much back home, but maybe it's resurfacing everywhere and I'm only seeing it here because that's where I am.
I feel like you're very much more into that sort
of
stuff.
I love space.
I love things we can't possibly know.
Yes.
I'm big on, there's got to be a way to time travel. Like I love time travel.
Got to be.
Just
the fact that you could be looking into the past if you're light years away with a telescope. If we could do that, you'd be looking into the past. That's incredible.
So and I almost think if you can think it and survive long enough, it can happen
mm-hmm.
because there's really nothing that primitive man thought that hadn't happened, and we're just primitive man a little later.
Yes,
don't get me started. It's my thing, right?
I love it.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that.
No, I'm all for it.
One final question for you guys: if you go home, are you a big deal, or did you only try to be a big deal here?
We kind of focused on the U.S. from the get-go. Now, luckily, I feel like there are some people back home that I guess have followed along and have picked up about us along the way. But no, we definitely like had nothing going
on. It was like, we started from the ground up over here.
What's the one question when you walk into an interview you know they're going to ask and you're like, let's just get through it?
Dude, it's funny. There's not really. I feel like the Keith Urban thing gets brought up a lot, but it's kind of expected. You know,
yeah.
And we have a point to talk about it. So
Give it a year.
Yeah. Actually, let's check in with us again.
But here's the thing. It's great.
This
to have
is where
those,
it's just started
you're,
again.
You're
where we
getting
have,
interviewed.
Yeah. Yes,
right?
yes. Exactly. That's why we're at a point now where it's like we had a year completely off and now we're doing it again. So I'm like, let's ask us, repeat it again. You can ask the same question in the same interview and I'd be like, happily answer it again.
We started a series on Instagram, am I able to cuss? Where we start an Instagram series called Is It Shit? And the premise is we go out and we find foods that we think look disgusting and we just try them. We're like, is it disgusting? Yes or no? And
it's a great little theme song.
A lot of time and effort. But we're so stupid. But we did this little thing. We did like three episodes and a lot of the interviews we've had in the last like couple of weeks have been like, oh, what's this thing where you guys eat these terrible foods and blah, blah, blah. And like we have had rights with like people in that, like, I don't
you're
know.
You're the guys
like,
that eat shit. actually shit. But it's,
yeah, I don't know.
Well, listen, I love to see that you guys are, you know, you're ready to go and you have the right stuff to go with.
Thanks, man.
And two things are hard to do at the same time. Sometimes you're ready to go and you have okay stuff and that doesn't work.
Mm.
And sometimes you have good stuff, but you're not ready.
Yeah.
Mm.
And in the same vein of, are there any questions that you're like, oh, great. It's almost like you're going to get so tired from overworking yourself, but you got to be so grateful that you get to be. It's like you'll be so blessed to be so exhausted.
Yeah, dude.
You're going to be sick because you're running. And I'm just speaking from experience. I run hard and I get so pissed off sometimes that I'm like, I have no time for myself. I have no, but I have to take a second. And this is my sage advice I'm giving you now. I have to take a second when I'm exhausted and I'm cranky and I'm hungry to go, how lucky am I to be exhausted and cranky and hungry?
Yes, exactly, dude.
Because I used to be exhausted and cranky and hungry and nobody cared.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys are hitting it right now. So I applaud you for that.
I'm super
pumped for the early success. And it hadn't even started. It's going to radio June 21st, I'm being told.
Yes.
Breakups is. It's just such a great song.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Seriously.
Yeah,
thanks for having us on.
I can't wait to see you guys live. I don't know how it'll ever happen, but I can't wait to see you guys live and... You know, maybe you'll do something here or we'll be in some city at the same time.
Let's
but I,
love that, man.
I would for sure come to a show.
We'll make sure that happens.
But I want to play all the solos. And dude, I'm left-handed. Yes. Do you guys play left-handed? I can't do it then. Sorry.
Nope.
I'm only left-handed. Here's my Keith Urban story before we go.
Okay.
There's another. I have like two good ones, but I'll give you one more good one. I was interviewing Keith for like CMA Fest underneath the football stadium. There's like a little spot we were interviewing.
Okay, yeah.
And so I had my guitar and I was doing little funny songs with people. And I was da-da-da and we whatever. It's dopey. You get it. And so Keith Urban's like, I'm gonna do your impression. Hey, Mike, let me see your guitar. And I was like, well, it's left-handed.
Pretty good.
It's left-handed. And he's like, well, never really played left-handed before. That wasn't good.
Plays clutterability.
Yeah. And so he grabs it and it. I watch his eyes and his and you just and he's kind of clunking around.
Yeah.
He's like,
Krah. And then
it kind of clicks. And he starts to go, and he's playing chords.
Yeah, yeah.
The other hand reversed.
Yeah.
He right then in that moment was a better guitar player than me, left-handed.
That's hilarious, dude. That's great.
Because then people will play left-handed guitars flipped upside down.
Yeah, like Jimi Hendrix did that.
Oh, Jimi Hendrix, yeah, of course.
Just flipped it because he didn't know how to switch it. And I used to break nuts. On you know because well mm-hmm.
Are we talking about
on an acoustic guitar for those there's a nut and all the strings go into those grooves are different size small for little big for bigger
and you'd try to get
and
the
I would
strings
try to switch
on,
the strings
gotcha
then I realized you just got to go and get a left-handed guitar
mm-hmm.
right.
But to watch Keith Urban do that left-handed it was pretty freaking
impressive
cool.
Yeah that's sick man
listen you guys glad you came by it's a hot box in here I have sweat running down my back and there's nobody to blame I wish I could blame somebody.
Sweat Eldridge, dude.
Just blame us.
Instagram, we are C4th. Follow them. Check them out. We are C4th. Also, we are C4th.com. They're going out on the road with Jordan Davis, who is a good friend of mine. One time, I'm going to give you one more story because this is funny.
You don't need it.
I'm like the old man, Mike, who's got a story for everything.
Got another story for you.
Jordan Davis was opening for me in Kentucky, and I was doing an hour comedy set, and I bring along an artist to do music. And I said, all right, Jordan, come up. We're in maybe Louisville or Lexington, mm-hmm. one of the L's. We're up there, and he's supposed to play 25 minutes before I go on and do an hour. And so I'm not even dressed. And I would wear the same thing every night because I didn't want to have to – one, I'm colorblind, and so I had the same outfit. I wore a white sleeve button-up shirt with short sleeves, skinny tie, black pants, mm-hmm. red shoes. Every night. I knew it worked.
Yep.
Didn't have to worry about picking out clothes. And so I wasn't even dressed yet. I saw it hanging there, and Jordan. I heard Jordan go, all right, thank you, guys. Good night. And I'm like, what just happened? And he walks off, and he's like, yeah. I'm like, hey, man, what happened? He goes, well, I played my third song, and I left. And I was like, what do you mean your third song, and you left? He goes, I thought I was supposed to play three songs. I was like, I'm supposed to play for 30 minutes, 25, 30 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
And he goes, oh, my God, I am so sorry.
Oh,
and so that was it. He came off stage.
That's incredible.
And so I, we had somebody go and go like, hey, Bobby's going to be out in a few minutes.
That's so funny.
So then in the middle of my set, I made him come out and play 20 more minutes. So I did a really strong 40-minute set.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Love
with
that.
Jordan back, I was like, get back out of here
that's
and play.
Incredible. Love
like,
that,
I didn't pay you $2,500 to do crap.
Yeah.
All right, wearec4th.com. The Jordan Davis tour kicks off September 9th in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It goes through December 19th. It wraps up in Boston. So go there. And if you get a chance to see these guys, if they're out doing their own stuff too, go watch that. Follow them on social media. And you should do the bit with Jordan. Play three songs and walk off.
Yeah,
be like, Bobby Bones said to do
that. Yeah.
That's
all right,
great.
There they are. C4th. We are C4th. Thank you, guys. Hope
thank
to see you.
Thank you.
Mate, thank you.